الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue with the شرح العقيدة الوسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية عليه رحمة الله. And I think this is the sixth or the seventh session in which we address the virtues and the rights of the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're not done yet. We're not quite done yet. There's more to say. We did not mention what we will mention now last week, which is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. وَيَحْفَظُونَ وَقَوْلُهُ طَبْعًا وَيَحْفَظُونَ فِيهِمْ وَصِيَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَيْثُ قَالَ يَوْمَ غُدَيْرٍ أو يَوْمَ غُدَيْرٍ نعم يَوْمَ غُدَيْرٍ أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. They maintain and they observe and they take into consideration, they apply. All these can be understood from the word يَحْفَظُونَ here. It is not merely the preservation of something like vegetables in a container, because that's also preserving something. It's a form of preservation. But the wasiyah, the advice or the admonishment or the will, in this case, of the Prophet ﷺ, in regards what he said on the day of Ghudayr, where he said, I remind you, or I remind you of Allah in regards to my household, to the family of my household. Now the Shaykh said in explaining that wasiyatul rasul alayhi salatu wasalam ay ahadahu alladhi ahada bihi aw ahada bihi ila ummatihi ahadahu alladhi ahada bihi ila ummatihi alaykum salam. It is the covenant which he has left behind for his ummah. Wa yawm ghudayr huwa al-yawm al-thamin ashar min dhil-hijjah. That is the 18th day of dhil-hijjah. وهذا الغدير ينسب إلى رجل يسمى خاميم. This غدير is attributed to a person whose name is خاميم or خم. الله أعلم how it is supposed to be said. وهو في الطريق بين مكة والمدينة. If you know geography or you know the kingdom, you may know better than I would. It's on the way between مكة and Medina. قريب من الجحفة. Near الجحفة. نزل الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فيه منزلا في رجوعه من حجة الوداع. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he kind of camped over there for some time on their way back from the farewell pilgrimage. وخطب الناس, and he advised and admonished the people. وقال أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. He says, I remind you of Allah in regards to the family of my household. ثلاثا, he said that thrice. يعني أذكر الله أذكر خوفه وانتقامه إن أضعتم حق أهل البيت. Meaning, remember Allah as in remember fearing Him and His revenge in case you abandon the right of my household. وَاذْكُرُوا رَحْمَتَهُ وَثَوَابَهُ إِن قُمْتُمْ فِي حَقِّهِ. And then remember also His mercy and His reward in case you fulfill their rights and what they deserve. قَوْلُهُ وَقَالَ أَيْضًا لِلْعَبَّاسِ عَمَّهُ وَقَدْ اشْتَكَى عمه وقد اشتكى إليه أن بعض قريش يجفو بني هاشم فقال والذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمنون حتى يحبوكم لله ولقرابتي. We also mention أهل السنة والجماعة also keep and they preserve and they can take into consideration, they apply the statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام when he said to Al-Abbas, his uncle, when he complained to him that some of the people of Quraysh were being somewhat rude with Bani Hashim. They weren't being very flexible, weren't being very kind and courteous towards them. Yashfum from Jaffa, it's kind of like stern, being stern and hard-headed. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, by he or by him in whose hand is my soul, they shall not believe until they love you for the sake of Allah and because of my kinship, because of that relation you have with me. أيضاً مصدر آض يأيض. Now this is probably the first time you heard this and probably the last time you would hear it. أيضاً, you hear أيضاً all the time, which is also. Now he's telling you the root of it. It comes from آض or يأيض. أي رجع, which means to return. So also is like returning to the same thing, so it's happening again. وهو مصدر لفعل محذوف المعنى عودا على ما سبق. And it is a It is the Bismillah. I can't remember the grammatical terminology for this one. Masdar. There's another word. Anywho. Basically, it refers to something going back to the initial point it was at. Returning. Yajfu, yatarafa wa yakra. Yajfu is to, yatarafa is to kind of be somewhat prideful, as in you raise yourself above that particular thing. It's not at your level, in other words. Wa yakra, to detest something, to dislike something. Hashim, who was jaddu abi Rasul alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the Prophet's father's grandfather, alayhi salatu salam. فَأَقْسَمَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ أَيْ لَا يَتِمُّ إِيمَانُهُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ, he gave an oath that they will not truly believe, as in their belief will not reach perfection and completeness. حَتَّى يُحِبُّكُمْ لِلَّهِ, until they love you for Allah's sake. وَهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ يُشَارِكُهُمْ فِيهَا غَيْرُهُمْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This kind of love is actually shared. Also shared in this are other believers. لأن الواجب على كل إنسان أن يحب كل مؤمن لله. Because it is incumbent on every person to love every believer for the sake of Allah, obviously. لكن قال ولقرابتي. But the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام added that you love him for the sake of Allah, because they're believers, and because of their relation with me. Yeah. فَهَذَا حُبٌّ زَائِدٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. This love actually is additional to simply loving them for the sake of Allah. وَيَخْتَصُ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ قَرَابَةُ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So those that are specific to that, specifically mentioned or specifically indicated here, are the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, his relatives. وفي قول العباس إن بعض قريش يجفو بني هاشم. In the statement of Al-Abbas, some of the people of Quraysh are being, you know, difficult with the Bani Hashim. دليل على أن جفاء آل البيت كان موجودا منذ حياة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. This indicates that this kind of attitude towards the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام existed even during his life. It existed from back then. وذلك لأن الحسد من طبائع البشر. Why? Because envy is a human trait. It's a quality in most human beings. It's very actually, it happens sometimes, it afflicts the du'at. And when it afflicts the du'at, it brings about disasters. Yeah, and it's one thing when you have to point some things out because of the need to do so. And it's another thing when you just don't like someone because they're more popular than you, and so you try to bash them to bring them down. Happens very often. I just received an email. That is a manifestation of that. Someone who wanted to advise me, of course, a Salafi sect member, and he wanted to advise me. And so he began by apologizing for using the English language because the Arabic is more noble. But you know, I had to forgive him for using the English in his email. And then he said, you quoted this hadith, and in one hadith you made this one mistake in grammar. Instead of saying jama'ah with a fatha, jama'ata, you said jama'ati with a kasra. I said, and I warn you, and don't take this matter lightly. This is a very serious thing. And he started quoting all these statements of the Salaf about the, you know, the making mistakes, grammatical mistakes or linguistic mistakes. And I'm like, okay. I do know, by the way, the ruling, it's maf'ul bihi, it's supposed to end with, but I'm giving a lecture, man, you know, you got all this pressure on me, and so sometimes, you know, your tongue slips, you can't control everything you say, come on, man, don't be going fetching for mistakes, ajib. I said, well, some of you, one of your ulama, which you praise, overpraise, they've collected the 30, 40 ayat which he misquotes in his lectures. Not a statement, alaykum salam. Not a statement, an ayah from the book of Allah which he distorts. And so I said, you need to send him an email as well. And tell him he needs to be careful, and this is a serious crime, and don't take it lightly, this isn't that. So what does he say at the end? Because you said that we cannot call ourselves Salafis, blah, 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 blah. He said, I advise you to stop giving lectures. And just translate, you know, the statements of the scholars, if you can do so. But don't give lectures anymore. What is the crime that I've committed? all these lectures which may have been, and we ask Allah that they have been a source of some guidance for some people. No, Habibi. Because I made one mistake with the Fatha, and I said that you cannot call yourself Salafi, or you should not. Rather, just follow the way of the Salaf and abandon this kind of Hizbiyah. This is the only crime. What is the final result? Don't give lectures anymore. So you can leave the platform for every other, you know, Sufi, Ash'ari, Mu'tazili, you name it, to come and invite the Muslims to what? To their deviance? So, you know, you have to be also fair and just. So, but now, if they had been watching all these lectures, they like it. Once they disagreed with me on this issue, khalas. This is the crime that is unforgivable, the unforgivable crime. Which is saying that, so now you can pinpoint the small mistake in Fatha Kasra, and subsequently don't give lectures anymore because of this one particular point of disagreement. We say, you know, this is, it may be, I don't know if it's envy, but usually that's what envy is. That's what it is. I mean, what else can you explain? For this kind of extremism, it must be some other objectives or serious blind following of some mashayikh to the point that you can't really see beyond that. Can't see someone calling to the sunnah, but may disagree with. And that position is the position of Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, which is one of their mashayikh. So, I mean, then you're entitled to follow. If Shaykh Albani said this and Shaykh bin Uthaymeen said that, you have the freedom to choose this one over that one. Big deal. You're still within the realm of what the ulama have said. It's never been obligatory to call yourself Salafi from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until now. Never was, never will be. Because if it was part of the deen, Allah would have revealed it. It would have been told even at later on in time, there will be time when people say, make sure yourself you call yourself Salafi. We would have had that. Wa alaykum salam, but we don't have that. Ala kulli hal. Envy then, wa alaykum salam akhi, is a quality of human trait. It's a human nature. Illa man asamahu Allah, Azza wa Jalla, except the one whom Allah protects. فكانوا يحسدون آل البيت آل بيت الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام على ما من الله به عليه من قرابة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فيجفونهم ولا يقومون بحقهم. So these people used to envy the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام because of what Allah has bestowed upon them of that kinship tie, that nearness to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So they used to be stern with them and they would not fulfill their rights. قوله وقال إن الله اصطفى بني إسماعيل واصطفى من بني إسماعيل كنانة واصطفى من كنانة أو كنانة قريشا واصطفى من قريش بني هاشم واصطفاني من بني هاشم. They also take into consideration the statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Verily Allah has اصطفى. What does اصطفى mean?
Children.
Okay. Where does it occur in the Quran? It occurs in more than one form, by the way. But that same exact one, in that past tense, istafa. Yes, come on guys, it's almost Isha. Tayyib. Does it occur elsewhere? I believe it's either Surah An-Naml or An-Nahl. قل الحمد لله وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الله خير أما يشكرون إلى آخر الآيات. So it occurs in the Quran. نعم. إذا اصطفى chosen. Allah has chosen Bani Ismail, the children of Ismail. And from them from Bani Ismail he chose Kunana أو كنانة. And from that he chose Quraysh. And from Quraysh, he chose Bani Hashim, and he chose me from Bani Hashim. This is the lineage of honor in this regard. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَنَّ أَنَا بَنِي هَاشِمُ مُصْطَفُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مُخْتَارُونَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. This is an indication that Bani Hashim are chosen by Allah and are selected among His creation. Yani they have that particular status because He said that Allah has chosen Bani Ismail and He enumerated them. فَعَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِآلِ الْبَيْتِ أَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيَتَوَلَّوْنَهُمْ وَيَحْفَظُونَ فِيهِمْ وَصِيَّةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فِي التَّذْكِيرِ بِهِمْ. Then the aqidah, that which we hold on strongly and firmly to, remember, from uqda, not, of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in regards to Ahl al-Bayt, is that they love them. and they take him as allies, and they protect the, and they take and they apply the admonishment and the will and the advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in regards to them by making mention of them. وَلَا يُنزِلُونَهُمْ فَوْقَ مَنْزِلَتِهِ But we do not give him a status superior to that of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. بَلْ يَتَبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّنْ يَغْلَوْنَ فِيهِمْ But we declare our innocence from anyone who exceeds the limits in regards to them. Like who? Like some of the Shia. حَتَّى يُوصِلُوهُمْ إِلَى حَدِّ الْأُلُوهِيَةِ Until they've deified them. They made them reach the state of divinity. كَمَا فَعَلَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ سَبَأْ فِي عَلِي بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ Like Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Jewish hypocrite, did in regards to Ali ibn Abi Talib, رضي الله عنه, حَيْثُ قَالَ لَهَ أَنْتَ اللَّهِ He said to him, just like that, right there in his face, you are Allah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْقِصَّةُ مَشْهُورَةٌ This story is famous. وَإِسْمَعِيلُ هُوَ إِبْنُ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الْخَلِيلِ Ismail is the son of Ibrahim, Al-Khalil. What is Al-Khalil? We learned this before. Khalil. Friend is not enough. Sadiq is friend. Rafiq is friend. Yes, intimate friend. Very close friend. And we said it has to do with takhallal al-shay, when things kind of are interwoven together. They're interlaced with each other. This is takhallal al-shay fi al-shay. Yani they go, this is how close they are. It's like they're a single thing. Now here, it is not in a physical sense. Otherwise, we'll be calling to wahdat al-wujud. We're talking about in the sense of what the word means. But the meaning here, Islamically, is that they're very someone who's chosen and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو الذي أمر الله إبراهيم بذبحه وقصته في سورة الصافات. And he is the one whom Allah commanded Ibrahim to slaughter. And his story is in Surah al-Safat, which you should all know. وكنانة أو كنانة أو كنانة. We need to review that one. وهو الأب الرابع عشر للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. He is the 14th grandfather of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقريش هو الأب الحادي عشر للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. And Quraysh is the 11th grandfather of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهو فهر بن مالك. His name is فهر بن مالك. وقيل الأب الثالث عشر. And it was said he was the 13th, not the 11th. وهو النضر بن كنانة. And his name is النضر ابن كنانة. وهاشم هو الأب الثالث للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. هاشم is the 3rd grandfather of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قوله ويتولون أزواج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين. And they ally with the wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, mothers of the believers. قوله أمهات المؤمنين هذه الصفة. أمهات المؤمنين here is an adjective. It's an adjective, a description, in other words, describing أزواج, the wives. You know, they are the mother of the believers. Describing the wives. فأزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات لنا في الإكرام والإحترام والصلة. The wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام are like mothers to us in terms of honor, honoring them, respecting them, and in terms of that relation. قال تعالى النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The Prophet has more of a right over the believers than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers to the believers. Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 6. فَنَحْنُ نَتَوَلَّاهُنَّ بِالنُّصْرَ وَالدِّفَاعِ عَنْهُنَّ وَاعْتِقَادِ أَنَّهُنَّ أَفْضَلْ أَزْوَاجْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لِأَنَّهُنَّ زَوْجَاتُ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ So we then ally with them by defending them and defending their honor, obviously, and believing that they are the best wives upon earth because they were the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naturally, قوله ويؤمنون بأنهن أزواجه في الآخرة. We further believe that they are his wives in the life to come, in the hereafter. لأحاديث وردت في ذلك, because of narrations which were which were narrated in this sense. وَلِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى Because Allah said, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَاغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ ربنا وادخلهم جنات عدن التي وعدتهم ومن صلح من آبائهم وأزواجهم وذرياتهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. Those who carry the throne and those around them, they and around the throne, they glorify and they exalt the perfection of their Lord, and they believe in Him, and they seek forgiveness for those who believe by saying, "Our Lord and Master, You have encompassed everything in Your mercy and knowledge. So then forgive those who have repented and they followed Your path, and protect them from the torment of the hellfire. Our Lord and Master, and admit them to paradise of delight that You have promised them, and those who are righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their children. Verily You are the One full of might and all wise." فَقَالَ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ, He mentioned, and their spouses. Because أزواج, you know, spouse does the job male, female. If you say husbands, then you have to say husbands and wives. Spouses does the job. فَأَثْبَتَ الزَّوْجِيَ لَهُنَّ بَعْدَ دَخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, So Allah confirmed that relation, that marital relation, well, not the marital relation. He confirmed that the marital relation, but not in that sense, even after being admitted to paradise in the life to come. That means that zawj will remain. This is the ayah. Of course, we have ahadith which are clear cut and explicit in that. But of course, we always like, you know, the ulama will bring all the supporting evidences and not won't rely on some. وهذا يدل على أن زوجة الإنسان في الدنيا تكون زوجته في الآخرة إذا كانت من أهل الجنة. Now this indicates that the wife of a man in this dunya will be his wife in the life to come if she's from the people of Jannah. Time out. Because some of you are saying, no, I just want to finish, man. We're going to continue over there. And even if you're being a right, you know, a nice husband and she's being a nice wife, but sometimes you're like, man, I'm not really looking forward to this, you know. But I'll tell you, take it easy, chief. Nowadays it's tough. Over there it's not going to be the same. There'll be no, you know, fighting and arguing and why didn't you make lunch today and all the things which the people, you know, fight about today. Everything will be nice and smooth. It's only going to be good times, okay? So even if you suffer a little bit now, if you're both righteous, inshallah, all the problems you both had now, you will not have to deal with them in paradise if everyone is admitted. Otherwise, this may be good news for some and it may be bad news for others. Like, no man, I'm just trying to get out already. And I tell him he's going to follow me to Jannah as well. Which reminds me of this wicked Sufi Sheikh. I don't know if we can call him Sheikh. This Sufi guy, man, from Syria, may Allah rectify his condition. He has a video on YouTube, and it's in Arabic. He said, now he has all these people listening to him, right? And he said that he saw in his dream that he was in paradise. Okay? Now, and this is pretty crazy when you speak with the Shami language with that. He said that there's fikur. You know what a kur is, man? There's like a turn. In paradise, it's like a street. He said, there's a turn. And while he was walking in paradise, he heard some women saying to the angels, leave us. Don't kick us out from here. And the angels are trying to kick him out. And so he interfered. And he got into the thing. And it was happening. And basically they said, we are from the jama'ah of the sheikh. The ladies said, the angels, look, we follow this Sufi Sheikh. So they said, ah, this is your Sheikh? Okay, you can stay here. So imagine this wild dream this guy has. There's a corner around in Jannah and women are being kicked out from Jannah by the angels. How did they make it to begin with for them to be kicked out? Crazy stuff. And then his status, I guess, was so high that they said, realize, oh, okay, you're with this guy. It's like wasta, yeah, even over there in Jannah. And so they let them. And then he said, yeah, like you think then we're going to let our women suffer here and then we go to paradise without them? La wallah, we will not enter paradise until we bring them with us. See the attitude? Yani, I don't know what kind of position he has in the life to come. He's going to demonstrate and say, no, we will not enter Jannah until our women enter with us. Yaqi, what if she's not qualified? Or we will not enter Jannah unless they come with us. Because, you know, they suffer from us today, so we have to pay them back in the life to come. So this is some of the foolishness which exists among speakers. And the people believe this person, they're like fascinated with him, he's very famous. Okay? Crazy, outlandish things which if you hear, say, are these people serious? But this is what happens when deviance enters into the deen, and then people blindly follow one individual. This is the head of their group. And so now anything which he says to them, people just believe and buy. Otherwise, you would say, no way someone will make such a statement. And Jannah is not like that, obviously. It's not going to be like that at all. نعم. قوله خصوصا خديجة رضي الله عنها أم أكثر أولاده. Particularly, يعني we would like to mention is Khadija. May Allah be pleased with her, the mother of most of his children, عليه الصلاة والسلام. خصوصا خديجة رضي الله عنها خصوصا مصدر محذوف العامل أخص خصوصا. Again, this is linguistic. يعني specifically, especially. خديجة بنت خوي لد تزوجها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما تزوج. The first woman that he married, the first time he got married, he married خديجة رضي الله عنها. كان وكان عمره حين ذاك 25 سنة. He was 25 years old. وعمرها 40 سنة. She was 40 years old. وكانت امرأة عاقلة. She was a sound, smart woman. عاقلة. She was يعني sound and firm in this regard. وانتفع بها صلى الله عليه وسلم انتفاعا كثيرا. He benefited tremendously from her عليه الصلاة والسلام. لأن امرها ذات عقل وذكاء. She was an intellectual woman and she was intelligent. ولم يتزوج عليها أحدا. And he never married another woman along with her. فكانت كما قال المؤلف رحمه الله أم أكثر أولاده. She was, as the author then mentioned, the mother of most of his children. البنين والبنات. The males and the females. ولم يقل مؤلف أم أولاده. He did not say the mother of his children, period. لأن من أولاده من ليس منها. Among his children is one as far as we know who's not from her. Who is he? Which son or daughter of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was not from Khadija? And what was his name or her name and from who? All I hear is Baba. That's not an answer. I don't hear an answer. Qasim? Ibrahim. Yes. From who? Maria Al-Qibtiya. Qibtiya. Coptic. The Coptic Mary. فإنه وهو إبراهيم وكأن فإنه كان من ماريا القبطية obviously. وأولاده الذين من خديجة هم أبنان وأربع بنات. The children from Khadija are two boys and four girls. It's good if we memorize them. Al-Qasim. And so he was called Abu Al-Qasim عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then the scholars differed. Is it okay for you to get the same kunya of the Messenger of Allah or not? There's a huge difference of opinion among the scholars. ثم عبد الله القاسم ذن عبد الله وقال له الطيب والطاهر. He called عبد الله الطيب والطاهر. Both mean good and pure. طيب is good, طاهر is pure. وأما البنات, so two kids, easy to memorize. قاسم and عبد الله. So he is عبد الله ابن محمد ابن عبد الله. Because his grandfather was Abdullah and he's Abdullah. That's the one way to memorize it. The girls, who remembers them? Fatima, well, that's the easy one, as usual. Zainab, La, 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 whoa, 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 wait, 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 wait. Shuaib, man, I'm going to get in trouble with me now.
Kultum.
Good man. He got away with it. You said Kulsum the first time, huh? Yeah. See, you know, but you have to hear we fall into the trap of the pronunciation. Urdu, trying to bring the Urdu into the English, the Arabic doesn't work. You cannot say Kulsum. Actually, not only the Urdu, in the Middle East, this is common. The tha is often pronounced seen. And people say, you know, all the time, summa. Summa, summa, summa is like poison, man. Make sure you say thumma, please, which means then. So Kulthum, bitha, not Kulsum. So Zainab, Kulthum, thumma Fatima, thumma Ruqiyya. Ruqiyya wala Raqiyya? Ruqiyya. طيب, what's the other one?
Ruqiyya.
Ruqiyya. Many people, by the way, confuse these two. Ruqiyya and
remedy.
Spiritual remedy. وأكبر أولادي القاسم وأكبر بناتي زينب. So the eldest of the eldest of the male was Al-Qasim and among the girls was Zainab. رضي الله عنهم جميعا. قوله وأول من آمن به وعضده على أمره. The first one to believe in the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and to aid him and support him in his mission was خديجة رضي الله عنها. لا شك أنها أول من آمن به. There's no doubt she was the first one to believe in him before Abu Bakr and Uthman and all the Sahaba. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما جاءها وأخبرها بما رأى في غار حراء قالت كلا والله لا يخزيك الله أبدا. Because when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام went to her and told her what he saw in the غار, in the cave of Hira, she said to him, no, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. وآمنت به, and she believed in him. وذهبت به إلى ورقة ابن نوفل, and she went to him to ورقة ابن نوفل. وقصت عليه الخبر, and she narrated to him this story. وقال له إن هذا الناموس الذي كان ينزل على موسى. He said, this is the same angel who used to go down and descend upon موسى جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام. الناموس أي صاحب السر. ناموس is the keeper of secret, the one who keeps the secret. فآمن به, فآمن به ورقة. ورقة himself believed in him. ولهذا نقول أول من آمن به من النساء خديجة. This is why we say the first to believe in him among women is خديجة. ومن الرجال ورقة بن نوفل. And among men ورقة بن نوفل before others. And he told him, because he confirmed this is the same angel, meaning he affirmed the angel. He said, if I were to be young, لو كنت في أجدعان, if I was a young man, I would have fought with you when your people will try to drive you out. He said, أَوَ مُخْرِجُوهُمْ إِيَّي. They are going to drive me out. He said, no one came with what you've come, what we came from, what you have come with, except that his people went against him. So he acknowledged the risala. He told him he was willing to fight on his side. All of this indicate that he believes in him, but he didn't live long for that to manifest. قَوْلُهُ وَعَضَضَهُ عَلَى أَمْرِ أَيْ سَعَدَهُ. The first one to عَضَضَ from عَضُض is the one to aid him. And Musa had mentioned that in reference to Harun عليه الصلاة والسلام. سنشد عضودك بأخيك ليس كذلك. نعم. ومن تدبر السيرة وجد لأم المؤمنين خديجة رضي الله عنها من معاضة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لم يحصل لغيرها من نسائه. Anyone who observes the seerah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will be able to identify the kind of aid and support he received from Khadija which he did not receive from any other among his wives عليه الصلاة والسلام. قوله وكان لها من المنزلة العالية. وكان لها منه المنزل العالية. She had this lofty status in the sight of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. حتى إنه كان يذكرها بعد موتها صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. So much so that he would even mention her after her death عليه الصلاة والسلام. ويرسل بالشيء إلى صديقات, and he will send a gift to her female friends. ويقول إنها كانت وكانت وكان لي منها ولد. And he used to mention and enumerate her good qualities. She used to be this and she used to be that. And Allah blessed me with children from her. فكان يثني عليها. He used to then praise her. وهذا يدل على عظم منزلتها عند الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. This shows you that the greatness of her status before the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقولي والصديقة بنت الصديق رضي الله عنهما أو عنها. At least that's what's mentioned here. And then also the Siddiqa, the daughter of the Siddiq. أما كونها صديقة فلكمال تصديقها للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. Why is she called صديقة? Because of the perfection and the completeness of her belief in the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولكمال صدقها في معاملته. And because of the perfection of her treatment, the way she treated him عليه الصلاة والسلام and her truthfulness in treating him. وصبرها على ما حصل من الأذى في قصة الإفك, and her patience in regards to the harm that she received in the story of the slander and the fabrication. ويدلك على صدقها وصدق إيمانها بالله أنه لما نزلت براءتها قالت إني لا أحمد غير الله. وهذا يدل على كمال إيمانها وصدقها. And what indicates her truthfulness and the truthfulness in her belief in Allah is that when the ayat were revealed in regards of her innocence, in reference to her innocence, she said, I praise none but Allah. I will praise none but Allah. Meaning she had yaqeen all the time that Allah Azza wa Jal will support her. And as she said, I thought that simply Jibreel will notify you. I did not think that it would be. She was shocked that ayat were revealed a whole page defending her. She said in the hadith actually, I did not think I was important enough for some Quran to be revealed in for me. I thought that the Jibreel will come in and tell you that I'm innocent. But Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to defend her in this fashion. And yet we find wicked creatures who claim to be Muslims who want to go against that whole page in Surah Al-Nur and then claim that she was A, B, C. Crazy stuff, but it happens. Naam. وَأَمَّا كَوْنُهَا بِنْتُ الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As for her being the daughter of the Siddiq, then you all know that. فَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا. Similarly, فَإِنَّ أَبَاهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَالصِّدِّيقِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. He is the Siddiq in this ummah. بَلْ صِدِّيقِ الْأُمَمِ كُلِّهَا. But he is the Siddiq of all the nations. لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَفْضَلِ الْأُمَمِ. Because this nation is the best. So if he's the best here, he's the best elsewhere, obviously. Like there's this classroom is the best, and they're better than everybody else. So when the best here is naturally better than everybody else. I mean, because he's the best here, let alone being the best over there. فَإِذَا كَانَ صَدِّيقَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ فَهُوَ صَدِّيقَ غَيْرُهَا مِنَ الْأُمَمِ أَوْ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ الْأُمَمِ. If he's the Siddiq of this ummah, he's the Siddiq of other nations by default. قَوْلُهُ الَّتِي قَالَ فِيهَا النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَضْلُ عَائِشَةَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. He said, alayhi sallam, in regards to Aisha, the virtue of Aisha, in comparison to other women is like the virtue of thareed over the rest of food. Now, would the Shaykh mention the thareed? He didn't mention the thareed. Or did he? Now, the thareed is a kind of food which was like a mixture of the best ingredients that they had at the time of the Arabs. It was like different meat with bread and a really nice meal. I mean, I don't know today, now they say the California rolls, what are they called, these things? The sushi? Maybe sushi? Now, I mean, sushi is expensive and it's a little tiny roll, but it has all these kinds of, you know, fancy kind of fish. Something along these lines. So it's like if you say you want to have a chicken breast or sushi, and even though you love the chicken breast, but come on, man, sushi, sushi. I mean, that's something that it's a delicacy. You don't eat it every other day. So the virtue is this kind of virtue, even though I may be wrong, but there may be better food out there, caviar maybe, or something like that. But something really, in comparison to other kind of food, it kind of put him to shame. Yani something really nice. So he said the virtue of Aisha over other women is like that. That's the analogy. قَوْلُ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ ظَاهِرُ الْعُمُومِ. Now here we get into some technicalities here. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the virtue of Aisha over other women, this indicates generality. أي على جميع النساء, meaning all women. So where do we put Khadija? Huh? وَقِيلَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادِ فَضْلَ عَائِشَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ أَيْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِ الَّتِي عَلَى قَيْدِ الْحَيَاةِ. Another explanation is that her virtue over other women, what is intended by women here, his other wives who were still alive. Khadija is excluded. فَلَا تَدْخُلْ فِي تِلْكَ خَدِيجَ فِي ذَلِكَ خَدِيجَ. Khadija is not part of that. لَكِنْ ظَاهِرِ الْحَدِيثِ الْعُمُومِ. The Shaykh said, however, the apparent meaning of the text is generality. لِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. Because now we have supporting evidence. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had said, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ. Many among men have reached perfection. وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا آسِيَةُ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ. Among women, however, none have reached perfection except Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, وَمَرْيَمْ بِنْتُ عِمْرَانَ, Maryam, the daughter of Imran, وَخَدِيجَ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِدْ, and Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid. Then he said, وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. In the same hadith, he mentioned the virtue of Aisha over others. So Khadija was just mentioned in the same hadith. وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَهُ الشَّيْخَانِ بِدُونَ ذِكْرِ خَدِيجَةَ. In Bukhari and Muslim, they both collected this hadith without the mention of Khadija. وَهَذَا يَدُلْ عَلَى أَنَّهَا أَفْضَلُ لِلنِّسَاءِ مُطْلَقًا. This indicates that Aisha is actually among the best women, period. وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ فَاطِمَةَ بِاعْتِبَارِ النَّسَبِ. However, she is not better than Fatima in regards to the kinship tie. Because that is the daughter of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. She's from his loins. Aisha was his wife. لِأَنَّ فَاطِمَا بِلَا شَكْ أَشْرَفْ مِنْ عَائِشَ نَسَبًا. She is more virtuous and honorable in lineage than Aisha. Obviously, because she's the daughter of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. وأما المنزل as for the status فإن عائشة رضي الله عنها لها من الفضائل العظيمة ما لم يدركه أحد غيرها من النساء. عائشة has such great virtues that no other woman has been able to achieve among women. عجيب. وظاهر كلام المؤلف رحمه الله أن هاتين الزوجين رضي الله عنهما في منزلة واحدة. Now what we are understanding from the apparent meaning of Shaykh al-Islam's choice of words is that these two actually are in one equivalent, one equal level in terms of their virtue. Because he mentioned the two. لأنه قال خصوصا خديجة والصديقة. He said especially خديجة and صديقة. He didn't mention صفية and others. ولم يقل ثم الصديقة. And he didn't say ثم then. He didn't say خديجة then. He said خديجة and that indicates equivalence. على كل حال الشيخ سعد والعلماء اختلفوا في هذه المسألة. The scholars have differed in this issue or on this issue. قال بعض العلماء خديجة أفضل. Some of the علماء said خديجة is better. لأنها لها مزايا لم تلحقها عائشة فيها. She has some qualities that عائشة was not able to attain. وقال بعض العلماء however others among the scholars said بل عائشة أفضل. عائشة is better. لهذا الحديث because it's hadith. ولأن لها مزايا لم تلحقها خديجة فيها because she has qualities and virtues that خديجة was not able to acquire. وفضل بعض أهل العلم وفصل بعض أهل العلم. Some of the people of knowledge went into further detailing. فقال they said إن لكل منهما مزية لم تلحقها الأخرى فيها. Each one of them has virtues that the other one was not able to acquire. ففي أول الرسالة لا شك أن المزايا التي حصلت عليها خديجة لم تلحقها فيها عائشة. In the early stages of the message or the messengership, خديجة acquired some virtues that عائشة was never able to catch up to. ولا يمكن أن تساويها. And nor can she be equal with her in this regard. وبعد ذلك after that وبعد موت الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام حصل من عائشة من نشر العلم ونشر السنة وهداية الأمة ما لم يحصل لخديجة. After the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, we got from Aisha in terms of spreading knowledge and spreading the Sunnah and guiding the Ummah that which we did not get from خديجة. Because you know, Aisha was a reference رضي الله عنها after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فلا يصح أن تفضل إحداهما على الأخرى تفضيلا مطلقا. Beautiful approach. It is not then correct to give one virtue over the other in the ultimate sense. Say Khadija is better or Aisha is better like that. بل نقول هذه أفضل من وجه. You say no, she is better in some areas, in some facets. وهذه أفضل من وجه and that one is better in these other facets. ونكون قد سلكنا مسلك العدل. This way we would be traveling upon a path of equity and justice. Traveling, and there's another word. فلم نهدر ما لهذه من المزية. So we did not undermine what one of them had in terms of virtuous qualities. ولا ما لهذه من المزية nor the other one. وعند التفصيل يحصل التحصيل. And then when we want to go into detail, then we'll be able to make distinctions. There you go. Okay, شعيب. MashaAllah, تبارك الله, شعيب. وهما وبقية أزواج الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الجنة معه. Then both of them and the rest of the wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام will be in Jannah with him. And now, do we go into this or not? Yeah. وقوله ويتبرؤون من طريقة الروافض الذين يبغضون الصحابة ويسبونهم. أهل السنة والجماعة declare their ultimate innocence, like we did in the lecture, wolves in sheep's clothing, from the methodology and the way of the Rafida, the rejectionists, who detest the صحابة and they revile them. الروافض طائفة غلاة في علي, طائفة غلاة في علي بن أبي طالب وآل البيت. They're a group who went to extremes in regards to Ali and the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهم من أضل أهل البدع وَأَشَدِّهِمْ كُرْهًا لِلصَّحَابَةِ. They are among the most deviant of the people of innovations and the most to hate the Sahaba of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ مَعْرِفَةَ مَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ فَلْيَقْرَأْ فِي كُتُبِهِمْ وَفِي كُتُبِ مَنْ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. If one really wants to know the gravity of deviance which they are upon, let him read their books and the books of those who refuted them. And we quoted some of them in the lecture. It's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. وسموا روافض لأنهم رفضوا زيد بن علي بن الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب. They were called روافض because they rejected Zayd, the son of Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali. That's one opinion. According to Imam Ahmad, we said because they rejected Abu Bakr and Umar. عندما سألوه عن أبي بكر وعمر, when they asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar, فأثنى عليهما, and he said, he praised them. وقال هما وزيرا جدي. They are my grandfather's ministers. أما النواصب, as for the نواصب, فهم الذين ينصبون العداء لآل البيت. They are those who actually establish enmity against the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ويقدحون فيهم, and they belittle them, and they degrade them. ويسبونهم, and they revile them. فهم على النقيض من الروافض. They are on the opposite extreme of the Rawafid. So the Rawafid, they curse them and detest them. And the Nawasib, they fall in the Rafida, they curse the Sahaba, and they claim to be honoring their household. The Nawasib do the opposite. They belittle the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فالروافد اعتدوا على الصحابة بالقلوب والألسن. The Rawafid, they transgressed and they attacked in this sense the Sahaba with their hearts and their tongues. ففي القلوب يبغضون الصحابة ويكرهونهم. In their hearts they hate the Sahaba and they detest them. إلا من جعلوهم وسيلة لنيل مآربهم وغلوا فيهم وهم آل البيت. Except they make an exception, those whom they use as means to acquire their goals. And then they went to extremes in regards to them, and they are the family of the Prophet ﷺ. So because how are they able to spread their bid'ah? I mean, naturally, a regular Muslim, if someone comes and say, hey, let's curse the Sahaba, and then you say, man, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? But if he says, look, the Sahaba, they didn't honor the family of the Prophet ﷺ. They took the Khilafah from Ali. They did this to Fatima. They claim Umar that he hurt Aisha, Fatima, and he broke her rib. And they come up with all these fabrications. Then this is now the bait. You know, you go hunting, the fishing, this is the bait through which they can hunt people. So they have to now honor them because this is how they attain their objectives. Otherwise, they just want to curse everybody. وفي الألسن يسبونهم فيلعنونهم ويقولون إنهم ظلمة. With the tongues they curse them and they say they are oppressors. ويقولون إنهم ارتدوا بعد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إلا قليلا. They say they apostatized after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام except a minority. وإلى غير ذلك من الأشياء المعروفة في كتبهم, among other things which are commonly known in their books, which you've also heard in the lecture. وفي الحقيقة إن سب الصحابة رضي الله عنه ليس جرحا في الصحابة فقط. The truth of the matter is, cursing the Sahaba is not really trying to degrade or attack the Sahaba themselves, بل هو قطع في الصحابة وفي النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وفي شريعة الله وفي ذات الله. Rather, you are really cursing out the Sahaba and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the legislation of Allah and Allah Himself, because you're claiming all of these are no good because of the choice. أما كونه قطعا في الصحابة فواضح. As for that is being a form of degrading the Sahaba, that's clear. They're cursing them. وأما كونه قطعا في رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. As for the reason why we're saying it is means of actually degrading the Messenger of Allah Himself. فحيث كان أصحابه وأمناؤه وخلفاؤه على أمته من شرار الخلق. وفيه قطع في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من وجه آخر هو تكذيبه فيما أخبر به من فضائلهم ومناقبهم. How does that entail degrading the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام? Because you're saying that his companions and those whom he trusted and those who were his khalifa after them, they were the worst of creation. And it's attacking him in another way by saying that he was lying when he told us that they were virtuous. Didn't he say, لا تسبوا أصحابي? So now you're belying everything he said where he praised them, and you're claiming that the people whom he trusted with everything were the worst of people. أعوذ بالله. وَأَمَّا كَوْنُهُمْ قَطْحًا فِي شَرِيعَةِ اللَّهِ. As for that being means of degrading the sharia, the legislation of Allah, فَلِأَنَّ الْوَاسِطَةَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَقْلِ الشَّرِيعَةُ هُمُ الصَّحَابَةُ. the link between us and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who conveyed to us the deen, are the Sahaba. فَإِذَا سَقَطَتْ عَدَلَتُهُمْ, if they're not reliable, if they're unqualified, لَمْ يَبْقَ ثِقَ فِي مَا نَقَلُوهُ مِنَ الشَّرِيعَةِ, we don't have anything trustworthy now which we can trust that they convey to us. وَأَمَّا كَوْنُهُ قَطْحًا فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, as for why we say it is means of degrading Allah Azza wa Jal himself, فَحَيْثُ بَعَثَ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ فِي شِرَارِ الْخَلْقِ, because he has sent forth his messenger among the worst of people, the worst of creation. وَاخْتَارَهُمْ لِصُحْبَتِهِ وَحَمَلَ شَرِيعَتِهِ وَنَقَلَهَ لِأُمَّتِهِ, and he chose them to be his companions and to carry his legislation and to convey it to his ummah. يعني معقول, as we say, we have, is it possible, معقول, he's going to choose the worst people to convey his, the last religion, the last revelation to all the ummah, he will choose the worst people. يعني, so you're actually now undermining and belittling Allah Azza wa Jalla himself. That's what the Rafidah are doing. The Shaykh said, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا يَتَرَتَّبْ مِنْ الطَّوَامِ الْكُبْرَ عَلَى صَبِّ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, look now at the byproduct, this overwhelming, crazy byproduct of cursing the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. This is what results. This is the result. Whatever that click is, stop it, please. Looks like someone clipping their nails. وَنَحْنَ تَبَرَّهْ مِنْ طَرِيقَةِ هَؤُلَاءَ الرَّوَافِدِ, we declare our innocence from the way of these Rawafid. الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ الصَّحَابَ وَيُبْغِضُونَهُمْ, those who revile the Sahaba and they detest them. وَنَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ مَحَبَّتَهُمْ, and we firmly believe that loving them, لِمَا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى, because of what they enjoyed of Iman and piety, وَنَشْرِ الْعِلْمِ, and because of what they spread of knowledge, wa nusrat an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of being there to defend the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And then inshallah next week, if we all remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with the continuation of that, and then we how to understand the differences which occurred among the Sahaba in the light of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, because we know that there was some fighting and whatever in fight that happened eventually. And so how do we look at it in the correct lens? So inshallah that will be dealt with soon. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.